It's good to be gathered today. Good to see that not everyone's departed already for spring break. Also, it's good to gather and celebrate how ministry is a service to others. We'll be focusing, on a ministry and a business model, but also sending our spring break service groups at the end of the chapel. Chris Gingrich will introduce our speaker.
Thanks, Brian. Good morning, everyone. It is indeed my pleasure to introduce Faith Patrick this morning to you, and in doing so, I'll read her accomplishments, and then I want to tell a bit of a story that connects me to her and hopefully to you. Faith has served as MEDA, that is Mennonite Economic Development Associates, MEDA's country manager in Tanzania since 2009, and MEDA manages projects that provide rural communities with greater access to health products such as insecticide-treated mosquito nets. Prior to her current role, Faith worked with MEDA as the program manager for the Tanzania National Voucher Scheme from 2004 to 2009. She has worked with the Tanzanian Ministry of Finance in the commercial banking sector, where she was the first manager of the credit department at Akiba Commercial Bank. Faith also served 4 years as program officer with the Dutch Development Organization for Private Sector Development. She holds law degrees from the University of Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and the University of London. Faith is a native of Zanzibar, which I can testify is quite a nice place, and she now resides in Dar es Salaam with her husband and two adult children. I first met Faith in September 2007 when I was serving with MEDA while on a sabbatical from EMU. And I had planned on conducting research related to the same project you're going to hear about very shortly. In fact, this was my first time working in Africa, so I was a bit nervous and apprehensive in some of the same kind of feelings you all go through when you travel to a place the first time. So imagine my apprehension even more when the current program director told me I was going to be assigned to the second-in-command's office and be placed right in the middle there. Now here I am, the Muzungu, the outsider, and going to be invading this person's space who has a lot to do and probably doesn't need a second distraction to complicate his or her day. Well, fortunately, those feelings quickly subsided once I met the actual program manager at the time, who just happened to be Faith Patrick. And Faith provided a wonderful and warm welcome to me as a newcomer and to Tanzania, and was a constant source of advice throughout my next number of years working alongside this project. So thank you, Faith, for that welcome and the advice you've given to me in those years. And let's all welcome Faith. I'm sure you'll appreciate her talk this morning.
Thanks, Chris. Good morning, everybody. It's my pleasure to be here today. And I'll share with you our experiences of the MEDA program in Tanzania, the mosquito net program. It's my second time to the Eastern Mennonite University. I've been here in 2008, I guess. I also did a presentation to Chris Gingrich's class, I think, yeah. So it looks like I'm building up connection with the university. The program in Tanzania, it's called Tanzania National Voucher Scheme. And I'll take you through, hopefully, in a way that will create ample space at the end for some Q&A. The program works to prevent malaria, basically. It started in 2004, so we are clocking in 10 years today. It's part of many more interventions in Tanzania to combat malaria. It's part of the strategic plan of the government. The project targets the most vulnerable population, which is pregnant women and infants. We are using discount vouchers that are issued at reproductive and child health clinics, which at the moment there are 5,000 plus in the country. I explain a little bit here. The number of clinics in Tanzania are more than 5,000, but the 5,000 are the ones that has the RSH services. There are two types of vouchers at the moment, paper voucher and electronic voucher. The paper voucher was the one that we started with in 2004, and in the last 2 years, we developed the electronic voucher. The program is locally known Hati Punguzo in Kiswahili, which basically means discount voucher, and it aims to increase affordability and accessibility of nets to a population that economically they are not very strong, I'll say. This project at the moment is funded by Department for International Development from the United Kingdom. Previously, it was funded by Global Fund from 2004 to 2011 and United States Agency for International Development from 2006 up to last year. Basically, it's a private-public partnership approach which involves the clinic at the district level and local levels, big LLN manufacturers, and the retail sales. So you can see the partnership. And an organization, as MEDA, we are doing the facilitation and the coordination. Basically, we are doing the logistics of the program. Next. I will take you through the paper voucher flow because there are two different process with the two different vouchers. So, I'll have to stay here. I'll say we start at where the donors, the donor is. That's the donor funding MEDA for program. So the red line is the funding, and then the voucher flow is the green one. So once MEDA receives funding from the donor through a contract that is signed between MEDA and the donor will have signed an agreement with the government because it's a government funding. MEDA issues vouchers to district medical officer, but the vouchers are printed outside the country for security reasons so that they are not forged. They are sent to the district government, which is an administrative localities there in the country. And then from there, with their normal distribution mechanism, the vouchers are sent to the clinics all over the country. The vouchers then find their way to the beneficiary when the beneficiaries go to the clinic. That's a pregnant woman or a caretaker of an infant goes to a clinic for antenatal. They received a voucher. And then they send the voucher to a retail shop which will already have been identified, recruited, and working with MEDA under a contract or say an understanding that they will receive the paper vouchers and they will not exchange the voucher with anything else, sugar, oil, anything else, but a net. And the retailer, no, the beneficiary will add a top-up of $500 and they will receive the net. The dotted line is the stubs that goes back to MEDA for verification. And the blue line is the net that moves from the LLN supplier to a retail shop to the beneficiary. It's when the net, the vouchers that have been accumulated at the retailer are exchanged with a net supply when the supplier comes with a truck of nets. So at that level, there's no money exchange. It's net for a voucher. And the supplier then submits the net, the vouchers back to MEDA, the last green line to MEDA for payment. E-voucher flow is a bit different. It's a real-time process. It's less forged and it's an intact mechanism. Probably I'll talk about the advantage later. But basically, there are three players there, the three market players. It's the clinic, which issues the voucher electronically to a pregnant woman or a caretaker bringing an infant. So the vouchers are ample. There's no stockouts of vouchers. Once it's created, it's there. The voucher, the retailer, it's another player. He redeems the vouchers with a top-up of $500. The equal, the same as the paper voucher. And then the supplier does the resupply of the nets at the retailer based on the electronic vouchers that have been redeemed between the retailer and the beneficiary. With the electronic voucher, we started in 2011 in December, October-December quarter. We began with a pilot, and the number of vouchers that we redeemed in that quarter was 1,152. And in a year, by December 2012, we had redeemed 344,000 vouchers. And by December last year, we have redeemed 1,000,001. But then even the number of the clinics participating in the electronic voucher have been also expanding. In a year from the pilot, we had 11 regions, but I will also probably explain. Tanzania is a very huge country, and the telephone signals are not available, you know, equally across the country. There are certain rural areas where the signals very very bad, sometimes no signals. So where paper electronic voucher can only operate where you have the telephone signals. So when I say in like 11 region, it's not 100% covering a region, it's only where it's the telephone signals are good. And by December, we were operating in all regions, in areas where the signals are available. High-level facts and figures about the program. Since 2004, the Tanzania National Voucher Scheme managed to distribute over 19 million vouchers to both group of vulnerable population, pregnant women and infant. The program has redeemed 11.1 million since that date, and I think this is a figure up to December last year. And by December, there were more than 7,000 retailers participating in this program. At the moment, the retailers are recruited by the two net suppliers. When the program started, MEDA was doing the recruitment, and the program has been evolving. So the program has not been like static. The way we are operating today was a bit different from how we operated in 2004 and 5. At the moment, we have two suppliers, A to Z, which is a very huge net manufacturer in Tanzania. BestNet is operating out of Copenhagen in Denmark, so that's the international. So we have two net producers. There are 5,174 reproductive and child health clinics which are participating in the program. And the electronic voucher, which was started in the last quarter of 2001, as I told you before, is currently responsible for more than 60% of the redemption of all vouchers. That's it for now, and I'll welcome some questions.
Faith, I'll start and maybe get the ball rolling.
Okay.
Tell us why you think this approach giving away these same nets by some government agency. Why do you think this business model has a superior approach, and what might those advantages be?
Thanks, Chris. The approach, and that's why MEDA is participating in this program, is the business component of it, is the business aspect of it. When you do a giveaway, you are not in control and you cannot control your targeted population. So you give away nets, I can take 2, 3, and I might not give or make sure that a pregnant woman will sleep under that net. You'll not even have statistics of who has really received that net when you want to do a verification. But at the end of the giveaway, how do you sustain that when the program comes to an end? So this program, one of the strength of it is the participation of the private sector, because even at the end of the donor funding, The retail shops will continue to be there. They have been there before the program. The question is whether they'll continue to hang nets on their shelves. And while 100% probably wouldn't be a realistic expectation, but on our anecdotal and our evaluation and monitoring as we are doing it continuously, we're thinking about 40 up to 60% of the retailers will continue to sell nets after the expiration of the program. So that's one very big reason. But also it's a targeted population. The society quantile that suffers mostly on malaria is not me and you. It's more under fives and pregnant women. And this program makes sure, assures that the pregnant women and under fives get net. So that targeted population to the vulnerable society is a very, very important component also. Okay. One of the objectives of the program is sustainability, but also behavioral change. The bigger community of Tanzanians have been receiving nets before 2004, before this program, out of giveaways. Either there is a political campaign and you have a candidate who will go to a community and dish out nets. You'll have a religious organization which is say, we will distribute net in our community, and so forth and so forth. But basically, it was giveaways. So when you go to the rural areas, a pregnant woman will sit and wait for a net to drop by from whoever. This program is telling the community, go out, the nets are there. And actually, probably another sharing is how much or how many retailers were having nets as their products in their shops before this intervention. And in the rural areas, about 70% plus minus were not having nets in their shops as an item before this program. So you will see the involvement of the private sector with this program. So when you want a continuation of a private sector, you're talking of a full market price at that time. So first of all, you want to change the behavioral thinking of the community that a net is not something you should sit and wait. You can go and get it. But then it should be available. So the net, as much as the program now, is connecting the community to the shops through a discount voucher, the community has to develop a habit of paying. Science is saying somebody appreciates something that you have purchased more than something that you have got for free. So there is a top-up. It's a very minimum. It's about 30% of a dollar. Of a dollar, but at least a pregnant woman or a caretaker parts with some money. The expectation of this program is when the program comes to an end, people will have developed some behavioral change, accepting that a net can be bought. So then the nets will be hanging in the shops. So at the moment, there is a top-up, but basically to cement the behavioral change for the purchasing. So yes, there is a bit of a top-up. And the voucher carries more than 90% of the value of the net.
Yes, a final question. Would you share how you see this as a ministry or how the hand of God is extended through this program? Just to be clear, especially in our chapel setting, we want to see the faith and God at work and us at work as God's people. I think it's implicit, but I'd like to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, thank you. I will say before this program, there was no nationwide program that connects the community to a net via a private sector. So here is a program that connects to every pregnant woman and children. And when you have a common message, one message to all, It's a voice beyond a person. It's a voice beyond us. We are all talking about a program that reaches everybody, and it makes MEDA reach the whole country. So when we get to the communities, we are carrying our values with us, the way we communicate with the reproductive and child health clinics, the way we communicate with this community. So personally, I feel it is a program that takes our faith with us while we are working across the country. And the message is very clear that we want them being protected, but also strengthening them going forward. So for me, the message from our values, our Christian values, is more of, yes, you need to protect yourself, and you can protect yourself, and we are here to help you to continue beyond our presence. So even if the program will close down, you can still continue and, you know, protect yourself and be safe. So that's how I look at it.
It's good to hear about this program and the way God's love is extended through the program to all people, as you said, and especially those who are most vulnerable. Many of our students, all of our students will be taking off to various places and some staying here for spring break. Many of our students have committed to service, also extending God's hand and God's love to others. I'd like for Jonathan Burkholder to come on up, and also for every, Jonathan's been helping me and coordinating for our spring break wide trips. I'd like for all of the students going on the spring break trips to come right up front and maybe on the steps and the floor. Come on up now, and you'll hear where they're headed, and then I'd like to invite us to gather our prayers of sending for them.
Yeah, come on up, and you'll see some of them got t-shirts. The t-shirts are pretty awesome this year, so that's exciting. And so one of our trips is going to West Virginia with Restoring Eden and Christians for the Mountains. And so if you can just kind of raise your hand when I talk about you a little bit. And so that's one of our smaller trips, but they will be working with Appalachian Community Health Survey Project near the New River Gorge. And so they'll be participating and serving that way. And the co-leaders for that are Carla and Curtis. And then our next trip is Jubilee Partners. And co-leaders Nicole and Heidi. And they will be serving down in Comer, Georgia, in the Christian community, offering hospitality to refugees there, working with intentional community and sustainable Christian community. And then we have Mennonite Disaster Service, and the leaders for that, Carissa and Caleb Hinga. And that's happening up in Far Rockaway, New York, where they will be serving and mainly probably rebuilding and from the effects of Hurricane Sandy and the flooding up there. Then we have Urban Promise serving in Wilmington, Delaware, with Urban Promise, which is an organization that works in the bigger cities, equipping children and young adults with the necessary things to get by in the city. And so,
yep. And this is about almost half of the people who will be going. Some are departing tomorrow and some on Sunday. I'm going to invite you folks to go right down the middle aisle toward Lana. Go right down the middle aisle, and then let's just come from the outside in toward them and maybe just lay hands on them, be with them for this time of prayer. So everyone stand up and just move to the center if you'd like, or you don't have to, but I want them to be surrounded, and thought this was the easier way to do it. Now, and all of you going on Y trips, if you haven't yet picked up your t-shirts, please do. They're on the round tables there. So God, we thank you for the opportunity for a break in the schedule, a change of pace this coming week for all of us working and studying here at EMU. For some of us, the change of pace will simply, even though we're still working, will be noted. For a few of us, it means more work. God be with us. And for those who are going on these service trips, we ask your safety, especially in travel, but also as they're at the sites of service. Give them hearts full of compassion and eyes wide open to see the needs and the opportunities, and then courage, a level of willingness to take some risk in reaching out to others with your love. God, keep us all safe and in your care, no matter where we are this coming week. We thank you for your providence, and we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. And so thank you for gathering. Go in peace. Have a good week, and we'll gather for chapel on, what is it, the 12th or something like that.